Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Glory, glory. So good to be at the Faith Center today. I am excited. I'm always excited to be home in Paducah, Kentucky. I'll tell you that right now. I want to give honor where honor's due, and that is to Pastor John and Sarah. They are a gift to Faith Center and to Paducah, Kentucky. And here's the difference. You can't hire a gift. A gift comes from God. And that's what Faith Center has in Pastor John and Sarah. And Lori and I love you guys so very much. And it is an honor, again, to be with you here today. I have brought my best friend, my girlfriend, my chick on the side, and my wife of 39 years, Lori. She's so holy. If I ever messed up, she killed me and raised me right back from the dead. That's how holy she is. I ain't going nowhere. I can only afford one. Amen. I can only afford one. But today, my message was birthed out of a breakfast that Pastor John and I had. I'm an evangelist. And today, you're going to have to work with me because I am a preacher, not as good a teacher. So I'm going to teach and preach today. So if you'll walk with me, we'll get through this thing a lot quicker. What do I mean by that? That means if you're not responding to me, I have to think to myself that you're not getting what I'm saying. So I'm not articulating my thesis of what I'm trying to get across to you today. So if you'll walk with me, we'll get through this thing. I started a church in 2009, Lori and I did, called The Awakening. So I know Faith Center is awakened this morning and ready to hear what God has to say. A lot of people say, well, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? Preaching, you tell it, or teaching, you tell it, preaching, you yell it. So we'll do a little of both today. Let's just dive in right now. My thesis today is restoring the heart. Yes, it's Valentine's weekend. But this is something, I'm an evangelist now. I transitioned. My son-in-law and daughter is now lead pastors of The Awakening. They're also leading the Indiana Dream Center, which Lori and I started in 2010, that we have homes for addiction. I wrote an outpatient program that it was the first one by the court system that is faith-based that the courts approved. We have that. We're doing, we was just given by the Catholic Church something like Hope Unlimited. We're starting that for women. So a lot of things going on. They're leading that. I'm still the founding pastor of all that. But now God has transitioned us and we're doing evangelistic work. I am doing life with other pastors, trying to help them and just be there for them. And we're also doing, I'm also doing a lot of counseling now. So this is a subject that has become very dear to me in talking about restoring the heart, because Jesus always focused first on healing of the heart. Every time. Why? Because Jesus created your heart to live in the power of God's love. But over time, hurts start piling up, and places in your heart starts breaking. When we know people are hurting, we say, We say, like, let's get to the root of the matter. The root is the heart. The root is the heart. Every single person in here today has experienced a broken heart. You say, well, you know, I haven't. Yeah, you have. Every single person. The thing is in church, we think we got to be perfect. We got to get real, man. People in the church has been broken just like people out of the church has. The only difference is we know the healer. Let's put a name on it. Thanks, Andrew. Let's put a name on it. Ready? Trauma. We think of trauma of like hyper trauma, which is out there, which would be sexual abuse, physical abuse, PTSD, a lot of things like that, what we would call trauma, and they are trauma. And trauma in the Hebrew means wound. Means wound. Your first, every single one of us, can we agree now, has had a wound. Your first wound, ready? Your first wound that you ever had came from your parents. You say, why would you say that? Because there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. At a young age, we start dealing with a piece of our heart starting to be broken. Mine started at 14 years old on my birthday when my mom come up and said that she's leaving. 14 years old, on my birthday, the morning of my birthday, in my bed, just getting up, and she says goodbye. I'm the only child. That morning, something in my heart broke in pieces. But here's what happened. When trauma happens, we suppress it and try to dissociate myself from the trauma. What do I mean by that? By dissociation. What do I mean? We start suppressing it and hoping it'll just go away. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God did not make your brain in a way to suppress it and suppress it and suppress it. It will come out. And when it comes out, it's not pretty. So what we have to realize is that we don't suppress it. We talk about it. Well, do we talk about it with everybody? Probably not. But God has created us. If we will let it out, then it does not have power over us anymore. When you start talking about it, And when you start letting all of that stuff out to whoever that person is in your life or people in your life is, it cannot have power. And so we live out of the frontal vortex of our brain. And God has made us, when trauma happens, the back part, it's like a size of a walnut, comes forward to protect us when emergencies happen. The problem is when it comes forward, we're in that state of emergency. God made it to protect us where we can survive. But we can't live there. We can't live there. So what happens, ready? I've suppressed it. So what happens is the next emergency, not only does this come forward, where we're just, you hear, you freeze, you're fixated, you become hyper, your emotions are all over the place. But here's what happens. When that comes forward during that emergency time, not only does that come, but also what you have suppressed from your last emergency comes forward with it. So one time or another, you're going to deal with the broken places in your heart. Now, here's what I've learned. And I think this will be on your sheet. Band-aids do not work on deep wounds. Focusing on the heart moves you past the symptoms to the real reason we do what we do. We live out of the heart. You live from the inside out. Why do you say that? Because that's what's on the inside of you. So we live from the inside out. But this world, including the church, has trained us to hide our brokenness at all cost. Well, what will somebody think? Or I might not be able to serve in this area if they knew these things. Or if I'm broken and I come to the altar and I'm just broken, and what are people going to think that less of me? Listen, there's something that's very, very important. Being broken and dealing with your brokenness does not make you less spiritual. I remember when I had to deal with my stuff back in 2018, I remember people telling me, well, Jeff, you just got unforgiveness in your heart, and you just got this, and you just got that. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm like, you know what I want to, like, I want to slap you. No, I've got a broken heart that I've never dealt with, and now it's time that I deal with the things that I need to deal with, and even though it was hell going through, but now I can look people in the eye and say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I know what that anxiety is. I know what that depression is. I know that hurt that's in your life right now. I know what it is. I just didn't learn it in school. I know it now. God takes our broken places and turns them into healing that we can give away to other people. Can I just be bold for a second? I mean, I've been doing this 30 years. I might as well be. Why in the church are people so hard on one another? Here we go. Here we go. Quote, church hurt. I've been hurt. You know why? It has nothing to do with the people, quote, hurt you. It has everything to do with you because we're broken. We say things, people that are broken are easily offended. They have a victim mentality. You just don't know what happened to me. That may be true, but are you going to live there all your life? No matter what you do, it's never enough for that person. You might have pleased them today, but tomorrow they got something else. They negative all the time. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to love everybody, but when you get up in the morning, you make a choice. You can be in a good mood or a bad mood. That's a choice. I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to dinner with you. Our relationships reflect our heart. Proverbs 16:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now I got to hurry on because John took all my time. This is our bedrock text today. Turn to Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And I got to go quickly. Mark chapter 5. I'm telling you, I'm usually not long-winded. But this is something that I think that is going to bring healing to many people today. Why? Because I lived it. Mark chapter 5, you there? This is a very familiar scripture. But what I want you to do is put yourself in this picture, in these scriptures today. Put yourself, imagine yourself in this script. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. So here we have Jesus beginning his ministry to people other than the Jews. Verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now get this picture. They're climbing out of the boat, and the first thing that happens is a possessed man who comes out of this tomb to greet them. Now that's a heck of a greeting. You know, if that happened in the church today, some of y'all need to go change your britches. I don't believe in all that. Well, I'm gonna tell you, don't have to believe it. But when you've been where I've been, and you have some homes with people with some addiction issues and other things, I'm gonna tell you, brother, you know, you don't have to believe it, but I've dealt with it and it's real. But I'll tell you, the power that is in me is greater than the power that's in the world. We are overcomers. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound in shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. We can see this man has lost his mind. He lives among the dead in the cemetery, day and night. Check this out. Day and night, he is crying out. He is alone. He is isolated. No one to love him or for him to love. No one wants to be around this broken and possessed man. Imagine the frustration of his family and his friends. This man is so incredibly broken that he's cutting himself. Can I just stop right there? Why do some people cut themselves? Because it's a coping mechanism that they use to try to numb the pain of the broken pieces of their heart. It's not that they woke up one day and said, well, I'm going to cut myself. It's not that I woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm just going to be a drug addict, or I'm just going to do this, or I'm just going to do. I didn't wake up one day and just do that. There's something inside of me. There is a wound inside of me that has to be medicated some way because it hurts so bad. And until that wound is a scar, I will continue trying to deal with the hurt that's inside of me. Let's first understand this. You must unlock the past to unlock the future. You must unlock the past to unlock the future. And I'm going to tell you, it's painful to heal. But pain is God's megaphone in your life. That's what pain gets our attention. The mountaintop is a wonderful experience. But when the valley comes and the pain comes and the confusion comes and the desperation comes, what happens? When you're flat on your back and all the thing you can do is look up, what happens? God gets your attention. Now, I want to say this, and I think it's in your notes. Pain untransformed is pain transmitted. It's like, why are you so mad? Why are you so angry? Why are you so pessimistic? Why is everything? This is one in church board meetings. Why Well, I just tell you, Pastor, I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want no devil in my meeting. Why do you got to be like that? Because something inside of you that has never been dealt with will be transmitted. I get better for a little while. And then, can I just say this? That's why I do not believe in sobriety. I believe in freedom. Amen. Sobriety, I've been sober for a month. I've been sober for a year. And then what happens? I fell off the wagon. Why? Or, hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic. That is not my identity. I am a son of the Most High God. The world will not dictate who I am. Only God Almighty can dictate who I am. Freedom says, my wound has been healed. I don't need to medicate it anymore. Now my wound is a scar, and now I can walk in freedom. I don't need. Now, can I still be tempted a little bit? Yes. But my temptation, I will not give in to it because I don't have a wound to medicate anymore. The first part of Psalms 34, you stay in Mark. First part of Psalms 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Whew, you're never walking alone. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. When everyone has left, everyone has given up on him. They never told you. Or some of them told you, let's put it personal, everyone has given up on you. They have told you you're never going to change. But even the negativity that has been spoken over some of us in our life, what they say does not have power over you. Why? Because the only one that created you has power over you. The only one that created you can tell you your identity. If you did not create me, you cannot describe or define who I am. But Jesus shows up. I don't know about you, but when I thought I was losing my mind, Jesus showed up. And then when Jesus shows up, ready? There's a suddenly. There's a suddenly moment. Suddenly, when I thought everything was going to come to an end, suddenly something happened inside of me. Then right after suddenly, there's a turnaround moment. Y'all getting quiet on me. You must not understand. Suddenly, Jesus shows up in my darkest moment. When I thought I was losing my mind. When I didn't think I could take another step. When I didn't think I could get out of bed. But suddenly, when everything I seen was dark, suddenly, I was able to get up out of that bed when I was flat on my back, and suddenly I put put my foot on the floor, and suddenly I had a turnaround moment. I don't know about you, but when you have a turnaround moment, you're here, but then you start changing. There's something happens. The Spirit of God comes on you and you start turning around and going another direction. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm talking to myself. But when you've been some places that has crushed you, that has broken your heart, people that have walked out on you. I don't know about you, but I needed Jesus to show up. But when he showed up, there was a suddenly moment. There was a turnaround in my life that made a difference. That's the Jesus we serve. I want to tell you today, healing is coming to this place today. Jesus has showed up at Faith Center. And I'm telling you, the way you walked in here, you're not going to leave the same way. Because if 30-second encounter can make a Saul to a Paul, what can he do with us here today? Verse 7, I got to move. And he cried out a loud voice and said, what do you have? What have I to do with you? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, just real quick, I'm not going to get into it. But Legion in the Roman time here was 6,826 men. So we don't know about how many legions he had, but can we say there was many? Listen, you do not give a portal to the devil. Well, I just think that's a gray area. I can't find a gray area in the Bible. Well, Pastor, what do you think about this? If you're already asking me, then you're already convicted. So don't ask. That goes for all of y'all going or watching the football game tonight. You better eat some wings and that's it. I'm telling you. Verse 10. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may not enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Isn't it ironic that demons need permission from Jesus? Okay, let me try to articulate that a little bit better, where maybe you can understand it. The devil made me do it. That just debunked your theory. The devil can't make you do anything. How about this? This is going to kill your theology. The Holy Spirit can't make you do anything. You have free will. You have a free choice. So the devil didn't make you do anything. But Jesus is hearing from a broken man with compassion and restores his dignity and sanity. What does people say when something happens dramatic in your life? I'm just mad at God for what he did. Why can't somebody be mad at the devil? I can't believe God did this to me. Can I help you with that just for a second? Our God is a good God. Ready? And he can't give you something he don't have. Yeah, did y'all just get that? Y'all better write that down because y'all want to preach that and teach that. He can't give you something he don't have, so he cannot do bad things. How about let's say, I'm telling you, devil, you might have got me right here, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to pay for this one. You're going to pay for it. God is going to restore what the devil tried to steal. He's going to restore it, and he's going to restore it 30, 60, 100-fold. When the devil tried to take me out in 2018, I told the devil in 2018, and God was just saying, transition, transition. That's only a word I heard. I told the devil, I'm going to tell you, I may be in a battle of my life right now, but you're going to pay for it. And hundreds of people, lives are going to be changed. Hundreds of souls are going to be won for Jesus. You might have tried to get me and take me out. The doctors told me I'm done in ministry. Everyone said, you are done. You need to be on disability. I had lawyers calling me. You need to be on disability. Well, I just want to tell you this morning. I want to look in that camera this morning and tell you, whatever the man has said, man on this earth cannot dictate what God has for your life. My God is a suddenly God. My God is a turnaround God. My God can do things when man says it cannot be done. But we say, we go to church, we serve, we do ministry, we teach, and say what we know. But have never experienced it. That is why knowledge alone will not heal you. Knowledge alone will not save you. There's going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day that was 18 inches from heaven. They knew about God. They taught about God. But they never accepted him as their Lord and Savior. That's why we have cycles of burnout in our life. And listen, when you're called by God, you can't quit. That's right. That's right. I tell pastors all the time, it's okay if you want to quit, just don't tell nobody. It's okay. You'll want to quit all the time. You just don't tell nobody. But when God's got a call in your life, you cannot quit. You can't quit. Write this down. I think this is in your notes, and I got to go on. We repeat what we don't repair. We repeat what we don't repair. Verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. When they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Men and women of God, let me give you some hope today. Your tomb is not your destination. May I say to you, you're coming out. Let me say it again. No matter what situation you're in right now, it is not your destination. You're coming out. Jesus said, Lazarus, he had to call him by name or all the tombs would have opened at that moment. Lazarus, come out. May I say to us today, Dad, you're coming out. Mom, you're coming out. Husband, today, you're coming out. Wife, you're coming out. Single person, you're coming out. You're coming out. No matter where you're at, what has happened to you, today is your day to come out. Anxiety must go in the name of Jesus. Depression must go in the name of Jesus. Financial loss must be retained in Jesus' name. You're coming out. When God shows up where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. And where he is at, miracles, signs and wonders, encounters, lives being changed, turnarounds will happen. There is resurrection power in this room today. You know, this is the year in the Hebrew calendar, 5783. This means, 5783 in the Hebrew calendar means, ready? We're living in it, new beginnings. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some new beginnings. I don't know about you, but I am sure glad my Jesus don't hold my past against me. I am so glad that He is a new beginnings God, that He doesn't even remember my past. When I asked for forgiveness and repented of my sins, He cast it as far as the east is to the west, never to be remembered again. And somebody that tries to hold your past against you, listen to me, they've never experienced forgiveness. I got to move. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. In fear, they asked Jesus to leave. I wonder how much that is happening in the church today. Can I just get real? Can you handle it? The majority of people in churches today, wounded, hurting, needed delivered, and we say, we don't need that stuff in here. We don't need no laying on of hands, even though it's scriptural. We don't need no anointing oil, even though James chapter 5 says it. I wonder why 80% of churches today will not have one baptism. You would think you'd have one by accident. I mean, at least somebody just fall in the baptismal. Why? Why don't we have laying on of hands? Why isn't people getting healed, delivered, set free? You know why? Because there's no power. There's more education in the pulpits than ever before, but less power. You might as well just write Ichabod across most churches today because the Holy Spirit has departed. Yes. Most churches this morning will have church and never know He's gone. I got to move. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged, this is verse 18, begged to go with Him. But one man said, don't leave. See, when you've been truly saved, when you've been truly delivered and healed, when you've been truly spirit baptized, you will say, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. I got broken places in my heart. I am dying inside. But Jesus don't leave. Today, not only has He never left you, but He is inviting you to join Him in a new dance. How many people in here? I was preaching at a black church locally here, African American church, and I was preaching, and I preached a message on dancing with the devil. And I said, how many people in here like to dance? I should have never said that, because, I mean, we had a Holy Ghost breakout dance right there for Jesus. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to tell you, when everybody else is gone, He says, I still want to dance with you. I will still hold you. I am closing, but she's going to do a song, and then I'm going to come back up and close. But I want you to hear the words of this song. It's time we dance with Jesus. Finally ready now to cry.
my faith gets tired and my hope seems lost. You spin me round and around and remind me of that song, the one you wrote for me, and we dance. Oh, we dance.
Finish your notes with by yourself. I got to go with the Holy Spirit right here. Listen, healing is a process. It's not a one-time prayer. The prayer is the start. We all agreed at the very beginning, you can put all your stuff away. I want you just to look at me. And as we go in this time, listen to me. Unless it is a dire emergency, please do not leave right now. This is critical. We all agree at the very beginning that We all been hurt. We've all experienced trauma. We all have these broken pieces of our heart. Many due to other people's choices. And if you've been hurt by that, I am deeply sorry. Deeply. But I believe the Lord has sent me here today to say to you, that He is your healer. You cannot heal yourself. And for some of us, we have to break our pride. Because many of us have stuff in our life and we get better and then we go back. We get better and then we go back. And remember, we live from the inside out. So if we have broken pieces of our heart and we have a wound that is really, really deep. We may get better for a while, but the wound is still there and it still hurts. It's just like on the wound off from the outside. We want to medicate it, put a Band-Aid on it, and try so hard for the pain to stop. And humanity kicks in and, okay, I've got this. I've got this. How many times have you heard that? I've got this. I've got this, Pastor. But for a little while, you got this. And then the pain comes back up. Or something in our life happens and we go back to what we know because we never was changed in the beginning. It's toxic behavior and thinking. But isn't it ironic that when we're not truly changed by God, that we go back to what we know when bad things happen or something emergency in our life or whatever, we go back to what we know because it's easier than to deal what's in the present with God. We just go back. It's comfortable, even though it's toxic. Even though it can ruin my life again. We just go back. Hurt is real and hurt has happened to each and every one of us. The question is today is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And I would ask you today that today is your divine appointment here. Some of you may have been drugged here. That's okay. I got drugged to church 3 times a week. And I'm so sorry that it did happen to you. And it happened to me. And you know, people may look at you and say, well, you got it all together. And we were upper middle class family in Reedland. Played varsity basketball. Everybody think you got it all together. And I'm passing out in school because my nerves were shot. I lay up at Lourdes Hospital for 30 days. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I was puking constantly. And on a Sunday, everybody was gone. And that Saturday night, my organs started shutting down. And the doctor said, "I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's not physical." But he said, "We're going to send you to Vandy tomorrow because your organs are shutting down and you're going to die." And here's the good news. I got all this stuff going on. I'm laying there and I see you and looking up. And I said this, "God." And I was running like you wouldn't believe for God. I was not close to God at this moment. But I said, "God, if you'll heal me, I'll serve you the rest of my life." No matter where you're at or what's happened to you today, your first step is to acknowledge that I've been hurt. I don't know what happened. I've tried to suppress it. It's been 20 years. And time does not heal, folks. That's a lie. Some of you hurt 30 years ago and you're still mad about it. You still have anger issues. Time doesn't heal. But when I come to an old-fashioned altar and tell God, "Here I am. I have no idea why my mom walked out. On my birthday? But I'm upper middle class, you know. I get what I want to. We got all the money in the world." She walks out. Why? But when you come to an old-fashioned altar and you finally admit and say, it comes out of you because healing is there. "God, I don't know why this happened, but I'm giving it to you today. I can't take it anymore." He stands at the door and knocks. That's not for the lost person. That's for you. That's for the saved person. He's waiting for you to open the door where he can come in and make that wound a scar. But today is your choice. Do you believe that he's the healer? Or are you going to walk out of here like you walked in, with the same wound? I can give you statistics. I know many women in here have been sexually abused. Many. It's a high statistic. I'm not going to throw it out, but it's high. What are we going to do with that? Take it into another relationship? And wonder why it's broken. Right where you're at, I just want you to bow your heads if you don't mind.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.